And then he said, well, what about Christians? If I'm a Christian, you know, I'm in, right? Let's read this one. Go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my... Yeah, it's not good words. It's not having the Christianese down and the colloquialisms. It has to be more than pretense and vocabulary. It has to be action.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, we continue our series on the kingdom of God, and Pastor Wayne is going to give us a few suggestions on investing and where we can get the highest rate of return. That message will be coming up in just a moment, but first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider. Thy power throughout the earth.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Invitation to the Kingdom.
Hey, take out your notes with me. We're going to continue in the kingdom of God. But first of all, we're going to do a review. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to give you a test. So get your pencils out and ready to go. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, and if you get, it's only two questions. You get them both right, you get a prize. So here it is. Here's the first question from last week. Stewarding worldly wealth is a blank for life. What is it? Very good. Give him a hand right there. Boot camp. It's a boot camp for life. Because what we're doing in the way we think about, perceive, utilize worldly wealth, if you misuse it, it becomes a god called mammon. You're going to see that word in the Bible. That's when you make money your master. But if you steward it correctly, it determines so much more and far, far, far greater rewards. So let's read this here together. Go. If you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the... Okay, say it out loud. Now, twice as loud, all right, because I'm hard of hearing. Go. If you have not been in the use of... Who will entrust the... Yeah, so that's the whole thing. See, God wants us to be entrusted with what kind of riches? True riches. Here's the second one. We will leave the same way we came in. Very good. See, those of you that answered two, you get a prize. You get a free drink of water outside. Free. But we leave the same way we came in. Let's read what it says here on the screen. Go. For you have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it. Yeah, remember I said what God entrusts to us on this world or worldly wealth or resources or gifts or whatever, it has an expiration date on it. It's called death. And so you got to be able to convert this into something eternal because you get one chance here. Now, you can't take it with you. It's like I said, someone coming through the turnstiles, like a TSA, they check you out, nothing on you. They go into a big, vast art museum, and they just start putting art under their arms. And you say, hey, you can't go out with those. I know. So what are you doing? Well, just like walk around in here, like make me feel important. So what are you talking about? It's crazy. You can't take it with you. Yeah, I know. I just want to collect. No, it's crazy. Because you're going to go out the same way you came in. Because see, when you and I stand before God one day, we have empty hands. We can't take nothing with us except what's in your hearts and what you did with the gifts that were on loan to you. You can be the world's best singer, but when you stand before God, that gift goes back to the giver. It wasn't yours in the first place. He loaned it to you. And what he's going to see is what you brought in your heart and how did you use that gift for the furtherance of the kingdom. It wasn't yours, it was the king's. If you're a great athlete and you got this great, powerful athletic ability, when you stand before God, whether you're a billionaire, an athlete, or someone that's a plumber, or someone that's a singer, or a leader of affluence or influence, when we stand before God, there's no Visa cards in your hand, there's no MasterCard, there's no Black Express, American Express, there's no cool clothing, no bling, there's no lines of credit, nothing. Even the gifts that you have goes back to the giver. Athletic gift goes back to the giver. It was his in the first place. It was never yours. It was on loan. And he says, will you steward this for the sake of eternal riches? That's why he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So however long I give you this gift, will you use it for the kingdom? Because when we stand before him, that's what he's going to check out. It was my gift. I gave it to you on loan. How'd you steward it? So what's in your heart, nothing in your hands, and how you converted what he gave you, because there's an expiration date on it. And you're going to go out the same way you came in. And we want to talk about this. Well, how do you then get into the kingdom of God? Well, the Bible talks a lot about entering the kingdom. Well, I'm a Christian. You can be a Christian but still not involve yourself in the experience of God. You can still be a spectator. Let me give you the best illustration I know how to help you understand entering the kingdom, not just being in the environment of the kingdom. I mean, in the experience, the adventure, the partnership, the interchange with Christ, so you start to understand what's valuable in eternity's view. I bring you back to the time where I played basketball in high school. Now, in high school, I was as vertically challenged then as I am yet today. And so the coach put me on the team just because he needed another player, but I sat on the wooden bench most of the game, and I just kind of slid up and slid down, slid up, never went in, so they called me Splinter for short. But one game, the coach was about to put me in the game. Now, I was actually secretly afraid of getting in the game because they might throw me the ball, and what do you do with it at that point? See? So although I had kind of, you know, braggadocious words, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, oh man, he should have drove here and did that. Inside's like, don't put me in. Well, one day the coach says, Wayne, you're in, go. Oh no. So I jump up, check in, and I go in. Now, the game is being played, and wherever the ball is, it's like, because I'm so afraid to get the ball, I'm way on the other side of the court going, come on. But the guy's like a mile away. And if the ball started coming on this side of the court, I run on this side, you know? And then I get behind a real tall guy, like 5'2 or something. And here, come on, you know? And it's like, I'm not useful. I'm not in a position to receive anything, but you know, I'm making like I am. And I remember one game, the coach yelled, hey, Cordero, get in the game. Get in the game. I am. I'm in the side of the paint. Come on. Get in the game. And it's almost like us, you know, the Lord is saying, hey, you're a Christian, you go to church, but get in the game. That's what he's talking about. Get into the kingdom. Get in the kingdom. Well, you know, I'm here. You're like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I can't entrust to you any balls of the kingdom, as it were. Come on, get in the game. So, because he was constantly telling the disciples to enter the kingdom, enter the kingdom. In fact, there's some prerequisites. Let's read this first one, go. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And what he was saying was, you can parade around with your uniform, you know, and it looked like you are, like the Pharisees had the big robes, but you're not entering the kingdom. Unless your righteousness exceeds that, you'll miss it. And then he said, well, what about Christians? If I'm a Christian, you know, I'm in, right? Let's read this one, go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my... Yeah, it's not good words. It's not having the Christianese down and the colloquialisms. It has to be more than pretense and vocabulary. It has to be action. Oh, really? Where does it start? Well, it starts right where many of you raised your hand in times past. Let's read this. Go. Truly I say unto you that unless you be converted and become as a little children, you will not enter the... Yeah, that conversion, that moment you said yes to Jesus Christ. And that's going to require a childlike faith that says, I believe. If you try to come to Christ based on your intellectual prowess, you don't have enough. God is way greater. It doesn't matter if you're an Einstein, you don't have enough brain to understand the vast cosmic expanse of God and His nature. We don't even understand the speed of light and how things happen in light speed and light travel. We can't even comprehend all of that. And God is saying, don't try to come to me based on your brain. You've got to have a childlike faith. Now, He didn't say a childish faith. Childlikeness is very different from childishness. There's a lot of Christians that have a childish faith. No. You have a childlike faith, not an immature faith. You've got to mature it. And that's why we're talking about the kingdom of God, how to enter that. And let's take a look at the next one. Go. Truly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's two births that have to take place in your life. One is when your mother's water broke. You were born of water, a physical birth is what he's saying. And you have to have a spiritual birth. Just one isn't enough. You've got to enter into the things of God and be awakened in your spirit. And so unless one is born of water, a physical birth, and born again, he'll not even enter or have a hope for entering the kingdom. But if you do, as Mark 4 talks about the sower and the seed, actually, by the way, they're all parables about the kingdom of God to help explain the kingdom. And he said the parable of the sower and the seed, you've got the good soil. And if you understand and accept the word of the kingdom, oh, the results will be fabulous. In fact, let's read this here and you'll see. Go. And the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it, they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So what I have here is nothing compared to when I put it into use for the kingdom. It's 30, 60, 100 times more. Now, because remember, this has a shelf life. If you don't convert it into something that God can use, and it's just for me, my, I love this, that's when that turns into a God. Because it's not the money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of all money. That becomes a God called Mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N. Sometimes the Bible calls it worldly wealth, but when it becomes a God, it becomes Mammon, and then it takes mastery over us. And so we're going to be talking about how do you make investments that bring the greatest return. Now, before we even move that way, let me tell you one thing that's a latent cancer in all of humankind that will stop the things of God. It's like a subtle cancer in mankind. And that's something that we all wrestle with and we must combat. And here it is, it's the word greed. All of us want mine, it's mine. I want possession of it. That's why a young kid, you know, not even going to school, is like 2 years old, one of the first words they know is when they get a toy, it's mine. Let your brother play with it, mine. Who taught you that? You didn't even go to school yet. Mine. It's like, hey, come on. What are you doing? You were just born. Mine. Like you were born wrong. That's why we must be born again. So we can be born right. Mine. It's just, see, the definition. Yeah, I told you. The definition of greed. You know what the definition of greed is? Real simple. Greed is keeping everything you get for yourself. You don't have to be rich to be greedy. You can be poor and greedy. Keeping everything you got for yourself. You know what the greatest business today in America is that's eating up the most prime real estate pieces of property in town. Guess what it is? Public storage, that's right. Our storage units. Now they even have a television series on auctioning off people's storage stuff. Isn't that right? With so much of that, it's like crazy. See, greed is keeping everything you get and we store it. And that, the Bible talks about barns. Not talking about barns, talking about exactly what we do. We just keep more and more and more and more. Pretty soon we can't even pay for the storage unit. Now they got to auction it off and make a television series out of it. It's like crazy. But that's how we are, and we don't even realize it because of the greed that's in us. I just tell people, convert that into something eternal. Do something with it. It's going to get auctioned off if you don't. There is an expiration date on it. And when we stand before God, our hands are empty. Only what we have done to convert into something eternal. That's why he says, lay up for yourselves not treasures on earth, where storage people can auction off and thieves come and break and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Greed takes on that kind of very subtle presence in our life. And let me illustrate it with this. Let me talk to you about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is in Israel. Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea, 42 miles across. Huge body of water. The Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because the Dead Sea is dead. You got it. It's called a hypersalination lake or hypersalinated lake. What that means is the salt content or the mineral content in this lake is 33%. You know what that is? Compare it with the ocean. It is 9 times saltier than the ocean. It is 1,388 feet below sea level. It's the lowest place on the lowest spot on the face of the earth. The only way it gets rid of its water is through evaporation. There is no continuation of the Jordan River after the Dead Sea. It keeps everything it gets. And it is one of the richest spots on the face of the earth as far as minerals are concerned, but it is dead. What does that mean? There's no fish, no algae, nothing grows in that because it's so hypersalinated. It's just got so much salt and minerals that in fact there's stalagmites that are actually growing up out of like columns from the bottom of this 1,200 foot deep lake, these columns of salt. From an aerial view, you can see these pillars of salt. Do you remember Lot's wife that turned into a pillar of salt? She's one of them. I saw her. She's still there. And these are coming up, and it's like amazing. When you feel the water, it's like baby oil. I actually floated in it. I sat in it, believe it or not. I sat in the Dead Sea. You can go out there and swim, and the buoyancy is so great because it's mineral-laden so much like baby oil. It's like sitting in oil. I actually folded my feet like this and sat up in the water and I just kind of floated around. It's just crazy. Now, some people say, Wayne, is there a way that one day maybe life could return to it? Yeah, could. If you took a massive 50-mile shovel high and just broke out a portion of it so it would start to give water away. There's plenty of water coming in. But it doesn't give any away. But once you get the flow through, not just to, but through, then freshness starts again. It might take 100 years, but I tell you, it'll start to freshen up and then life will start to live again in it. And that's what we want to talk about, and breaking a part of our life out to give in a way that brings the greatest return. So there's life that returns to you. And that's why the Bible says, so that you will take hold of that which is life indeed. What's it going to require? Us to get rid of some of that greed that's within us. Otherwise, I tell you, it'll backfire. It'll kill you. It will stop the freshness of your life. Even though I think I've got plenty. No. Never, the Bible says, should you ever confuse the amount of material possessions with having life and happiness. That doesn't compare, doesn't compute. And it'll backfire on you. As is the story of this guy who was praying by the river, just praying, this Christian guy, and here comes a bottle floating down, and the guy grabs it, pulls off the cork, and boosh, this big old genie comes out. The genie says, I've been in this bottle for 150 years. I am so glad you let me out. And because you let me out and gave me my freedom, I will grant you 3 wishes. 3 wishes was a Portuguese genie. 3 wishes. The guy goes, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I would like $1 billion. Oh, I saw you praying. Must be for your church or for the poor. No, he says, for me, I want in a Swiss bank account. Oh, genie's okay, poof. There was the account numbers in his hand on a piece of paper. There you go. Oh, he said, this is fantastic. Genie said, yeah, 2 more wishes. What would you like the second one? Oh, you know, one of those red Ferraris. For yourself? Yeah, for myself. One of those red Ferraris that are like $250,000. I want a red Ferrari. Poof, there's a red Ferrari. And the genie says, okay, you got 1 more wish. And he says, oh man, you know, my 3rd wish, I want to be irresistible to women. I want them to be able to not even keep their hands off of me. I'm so delicious like that. And the genie twinkled in his eye a little bit. He said, okay, poof, turned him into a box of chocolate. Greed. But if you break out that bottom part, God says, don't worry, I'll provide plenty of water. My source will never run dry if you're willing to give. And the result, freshness will return to your life.
You've been listening to a message entitled Invitation to the Kingdom by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, we'll learn about investing and where you can get the highest rate of return. We hope you'll join us. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.